Hey, Karma. Welcome back to the second edition of Invisible Issues. I'm your host, Emily Patton. Alongside me is...
Evan Onimus.
And today's topic is about immigration in the United States. We have a little bit of history for you guys and some facts. To start off, most immigrants came to the United States for religious freedom and economic opportunities in the early 1800s and even before then.
Yep. Well, that was, I know, definitely before the United States became a country, and it was a really big thing to gain our independence, especially when Britain was definitely trying to force certain taxes and laws on us that we really didn't want.
Exactly. And the population of the immigrants in the United States was insanely high in 1907, but then decreased as wars started occurring.
I think I always thought the reason of that there's always a bit of nationalism in each person, and so you just want to help out your country. But also because wars nowadays, I forget the name, I want to say total war, but I don't feel like that's the correct term, where, you know, it now encompasses everybody. And so, well, if you're not out there on the battlefield, you can still be helping at home in factories or just a lot of other positions.
Yeah. And our last little fact for this segment is that a majority of immigrants are from Asia or Latin America. And Latin America includes Mexico, the Caribbean, and South America. Up next, we have The Shins with Simple Song, and we will be right back with another segment. Welcome back to Invisible Issues. I'm Emily Patton, and with me today is Evan Onimus. Today's topic is about immigration in the United States. As of 2012, the foreign population was at 40.7 million people, which I find to be absolutely crazy. That number doesn't even include the number of undocumented immigrants. And for those of you who don't know, undocumented immigrants are people who are foreign-born and lack a right to be in the United States. That could mean that they either entered without inspection or maybe even stayed beyond the expiration date of their visa. But the population of the foreigners keep growing and is at an all-time high and is incredibly diverse.
That does, I think, last time you did say that they are mostly from Latin America and from Asia. But what I really wonder about is more about the effect of of undocumented. Because from what we do have documented, there's less than 1 in 5 immigrants that live in poverty. But I feel like when you get into the undocumented and to just droves of people who come here, that really will change that number when you actually can get it documented.
Yeah. Totally.
But I also wonder, because when we did research, we figured out that the number of undocumented immigrants is starting to plateau and stabilize, which I'm really starting to wonder, what are the causes of that?
Yeah, what's holding, I get that. And then another thing that's really interesting about today's society and immigration and stuff is that the Asian and Latino population keeps going up and up and up. But that doesn't mean that that's just the only one that's, you know, rapidly increasing. There's also so many others.
Well, I feel like they're both for the same reasons, and that's they probably have a better chance, a better quality of life in America, and a better chance to do something else besides, you know, if you're in China, maybe a factory worker, or if you're in Mexico, you know, maybe, I guess, some sort of agricultural job or something along those lines. And, you know, we have mandatory public schooling, which I'm assuming both of those have them, but I know that in China, both parents will, you know, they'll work long hours and they'll even send their child, they won't send them abroad, but they'll send them halfway across their own country just to go to a private boarding school because they know, you know, that's where they're going to get a great education and not end up working in a factory or a sweatshop that, you know, doesn't pay that much.
Yeah, I get that. All right, guys, we are going to take a short break and we will be right back.
Hello, Carmel. Welcome back to Invisible Issues. So, on the topic of immigration, we talk about how it's an issue, but in reality, it wouldn't really be an issue if there weren't negative effects. So, one of the biggest negative effects we see is how people are, one, they're leaving their home country. Well, that does leave an absence of the population, which, depending on what their roles are, so if a lot of agriculture leaves, then you have less food, which leads to starvation, which leads to death, which it starts a chain of events. But another thing that happens is when immigrants get jobs here, a lot of the money that they generally make is sent back, in the ecosystem of American economics, that's, you know, sending money out, which that's not really a good thing for us. And on a global scale, I personally am not really sure how that works. But another thing I do know is that a lot of these like undocumented immigrants, you know, they're not paid the same way a lot of people are. They're just given cash. So it's untraceable and, you know, it can be sent anywhere. But it also makes it so that these people don't have they don't really even have to get paid and are really at the mercy of people who, if they wanted to, could turn them in. And it's, you know, not a really good way to live to think, well, the next day might be my last here and then I might get deported.
Yeah, I think a question that probably a lot of people are thinking about while listening to this show right now is, how does this affect me and the, like, purpose of why we're talking about this?
Well, I know, so I've talked to a doctor, and he said one thing that how this has affected him is that it can prevent him from getting certain jobs because, you know, in healthcare, if you can't communicate with your patient, that generally leads to not diagnosing something correctly. And, you know, he's saying, well, there are people who, you know, just knowing Spanish, they don't have to become like 100% fluent, but if they know a lot of it, it puts them several rungs above because, you know, hey, they can talk and they can figure out, oh, you know, this is the issue. But I feel like it's also going to start affecting us because, well, America is a melting pot, but just having all of this free flow, like, you know, we're talking about how it's starting to plateau now, but what's going to happen, you know, what has to happen in Mexico's government in order to either see like a reverse effect or to just see them, you know, go back?
That also kind of leads into the question, though, like, what is going to happen in the future when we start, like, when more drama arises with this topic? And, like, what could we do to help it?
Well, I think the reason that, there's so much drama is because you could probably compare it to, well, if you left your house open, and so if someone just wanted to walk in and you just left your door unlocked and open, I mean, well, yeah, and I think this is why the government, to them, it's also a really big issue, because so they're technically like the homeowners. So they, you know, they have to make sure nothing gets damaged. And I guess we're kind of like the children where, I mean, how, like, we might not know how it affects us as much as, you know, the government does, but, you know, to us, it might not be that big of an issue, but for someone just coming in, doing whatever, and then leaving, I feel like, you know, that is just a, you know, one, it's just, well, you know, it just doesn't feel right to a lot of people. And I think that's why it's an issue. But I think, like, working on asylum is definitely something that could be helpful.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. So by asylum, I'm not saying, like, mental asylum, I'm saying just giving them places to stay. And I feel like, you know, that'd just be more helpful because, one, it would help on getting on lowering the number of people who are undocumented. And I just feel like, well, if we also made it just easier to get a visa. Now, you know, I don't work with customs, so I don't know if it's at the right place or how this globally affects or even just internationally with Mexico affects us. But, you know, if we made it easier to get a visa, would that have an effect of, well, if it's not such a long, or maybe not even, if it wasn't such an expensive process, if it is expensive, well, less people would be inclined to cross the borders.
And not only would opening asylum, like you said earlier, benefit just that side, there's also, it could help the poverty that we talked about earlier. How, like, less than 1 in 5 foreigners are, like, in poverty and stuff. And although that might seem like a low number, that's still someone who's in poverty, you know, and, like, we should help them out.
Well, it also works as, you know, you can say, oh, only 2% of people are suffering from something, but 2% can still equal 600,000 people.
And that's still someone.
Mm-hmm. That is still 600,000 individuals who are suffering.
Exactly. All right, guys, we're going to play Stacy's Mom by Fountains of Wayne and some other songs real quick, and then we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Visible Issues. I'm Evanonymous with my main host,
Emily Patton.
And so we were actually talking about during the break about Syria. Now, Syria's been in a civil war for a decent amount of time right now. And one thing is the amount of refugees has skyrocketed. I know last year we were reading an article and talked about last year there were only about 240,000 refugees, and this year, between January and August, that number was 350,000, which, you know, that's just a huge number to be emigrating and immigrating to other countries. And you can see the effects. I know for one thing, there are certain countries, I think Denmark's doing this, they've actually made it now illegal to pick up people on the highway because that's where a lot of immigrants or a lot of Syrian refugees and immigrants are going is they're just hitchhiking off of highways and trying to find shelter. And, you know, it's being really hard, especially since, you know, they left their country, which is stricken with war and just, you know, huge, you know, things to deal with right now. But at the same time, it's like they're not wanted anywhere else. And the only actual people who are getting asylum are refugees who are staying at refugee camps. And a lot of people who are emigrating from Syria they don't have a huge chance of actually getting asylum unless they either sneak into a country or if just by luck they are allowed in.
I read an article on, I think it was Saturday night, maybe Friday night, I can't remember. But I was with my friend and she was looking through some articles online for some reason. And she clicked on one and it really hit me hard. It was about the Syria topic and the immigration in Syria. And it said that like kids are washing up on shores because they're trying to swim to like other countries nearby. And it's not just kids too. There's also adults and stuff, but it's mainly like young children and like babies even, which I find to be extremely heartbreaking that they think that swimming long miles would, I don't know. I would never do it.
Well, one thing I know is, so I'm pretty sure a lot of them have the mentality of, you know, if we have to get one person to safety. Now remember, they're also leaving like their home country, which is just stricken with war. So, you know, it's while they're on this ship or raft or whatever mm-hmm. they might be on, you know, they're not safe going back and they don't really have a huge chance going forward. But so they have, well, if one of us has to make it, you know, it has to be the child because just parental instincts. I think another part of it is, so like I've gone sailing. I know I've gone adrift from the boat pretty far before and it's the ocean is something that, you know, you're like, oh, it's water. What can it do? And then you actually get in and you realize, oh, it's something that if it really wanted to take you out into the middle of the ocean where no one could find you, it can do that without a second thought.
Exactly. And you never know what's underneath there.
Well, I feel like that you don't have to worry about that as much unless you're bleeding in shark-infested waters.
That's true. All right. And the other topic that we were going to talk about during this segment was Donald Trump's role in immigration. It's like a huge part of his campaign and everything. But Evan, would you like to expand on that?
Well, because I think it's interesting that's his main topic. Because I know I remember when Obama was running, it was healthcare. But now it's starting to shift over to immigration. But you know, at the same time, the numbers are stagnating. So, you know, what I'm wondering is, so why does this have such a huge effect, especially since, you know, a lot of people from Latin America probably make up a decent amount of Americans, whether, you know, they're documented or not. And then at the same time, so those are voters. And what he's saying is, you know, we want to remove a lot of people who are undocumented. But I feel like what happens is because it, you know, it hurts some people maybe for family reasons. And so because of that, well, you know, they're less likely to vote for him in, which because of our electoral vote, that really makes it an interesting quagmire. But what I thought was interesting, because I've seen, if you can tune into the news for like 5 minutes and 9 times out of 10, that's what he's talking about.
Exactly.
He makes a huge focus on a lot of like gangs and cartels, which, because I'm just tempted to know, well, how is that going to work? Because I know in Mexico with the cartels, like there's a huge amount of corruption, mostly because it's, well, you can take the money or you have the chance of losing your life. And so, like, well, how does that affect it? And especially with, you mean, cartels they're making new ways to get over here. I think I remember once seeing an article where they're building submarines to like get to America and to transport certain things.
Mexico is?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, the cartels.
Oh,
in
my
Mexico.
Gosh.
So it's definitely a very lucrative trade. And so, you know, how are you going to? I wonder, like, well, how are you going to push something like that out? And well, how are you going to get rid of it? Especially, you know, when it's stagnating, I feel like, so you're going to lower the numbers and then they're just going to, you know, they'll probably come back, which will then raise the numbers. And so that I feel like that doesn't really solve the problem. But I do remember seeing somewhere that if we really wanted to fix this problem, I think what we just really have to do is we need to think less about helping out us. And we need to think more of, well, what can we do to make you know, the life for the average citizen of Mexico. Like, what can we do to make it better? What can we do to make it more profitable to live there so that they don't have to worry about, you know, crime or, you know, like cartel, like recruiting and such and such. And I feel like, you know, that's just really the answer. It's, well, how do we want to, like, how do we want to improve our country? Just make the rest of the world a better place.
Exactly. I get that. I 100% agree. All right. Well, that is it for today's show on Invisible Issues. I was your host, Emily Patton, and alongside me was...
Evan Onimus.
And stay tuned in because next week we may have an even better topic. Here is Sweater Weather by The Neighborhood.